fun.
Good morning. It's time to begin our worship. Please silence your cell phones and prepare for worship while we enjoy the prelude provided by Nicholas Grooms. Thank you, Nick. Good morning again and welcome. What a beautiful fall day after the stern warning we had that winter's on its way. Please register your attendance on the registration sheets in the pews. Pass the sheets to others in your rows and return the sheets to the center aisle. Make sure you note who is sitting next to you today. Make sure to look through the calendar of events in your bulletin. There's lots of good information in there. We have no choir today. We want to make sure and thank Janice Cooey, who's agreed to provide some special music in place of the choir. We want to thank Reverend Bob McNamara for filling the pulpit and providing the message today. Thank you, Bob. There are reminders in your bulletin about upcoming fall festival, a Shepherd of the Valley, All Saints Sunday, a pancake breakfast on November 3rd, and Veterans Sunday, be November 10th. Service members be listed in the bulletin and recognized during the 10-10 service. If anyone in your family is currently serving or has served in the armed forces, please turn in their name, branch of service, rank, and years served to the church office by noon on November 6th, or place it in the offering tray. There will also be a brunch honoring the veterans following the 10-10 service put on by Raylan Heck. Please sign up on the sheet on the bulletin board if you plan to attend. Come eat brunch with a veteran and invite a veteran to join you. Also, we wanted to announce there will be no mission commission tomorrow night. There's a prayer request for Chris Furch, who was injured. He was hit by a drunk driver while loading a car onto his tow truck. Dan Cooey, I believe, had an announcement he wanted to make.
I want to begin by saying we need to show a great thanksgiving to Ted Grooms for his many years of service as leader of the home builders class. Thank you, Ted. In the spring of this year, Ted announced that he would be retiring as that leader. And after some reflection, I decided that I could volunteer to fill the void there. But that volunteering came with a string attached. I've had a job on the Beartooth Highway for the last 2 years, and I knew it wouldn't be completed by the spring startup time. We usually start right after Labor Day with the home builders class, and I knew that wasn't going to happen. But so we had a delay. And I want to expand on the home builders a little bit. This is not just another Bible study. For quite a few years, we've also used it as a connection to the greater Casper community, in that we've invited leaders, and usually it's a charity leader. I think in all cases it was a charity leader, but I may have missed somebody, that we invite them for basically they have a forum with our class to spread the news about what they do for the community and for helping people in need. And of course, we gain knowledge in that we were a party to that and know what they're doing with the greater Casper community. Let's see. The bottom line, we've had a delay, but we have not lost our enthusiasm for the home builders. Next Sunday on October 20th, we'll again be in the inner room at 9 a.m. and begin Sunday school classes again. You are all cordially invited. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan. Are there any other announcements? Yes, Charles.
I bring love and greetings from your most recent pastor. She is doing well. If you follow her on Facebook, I'm not even sure she realizes that I'm not there. I'm very busy. Although she tells me that my dog is needing me. So this is my last Sunday. I am leaving on Thursday. And I just wanted to thank all of you. We had a wonderful 10 years here. We are praying fervently for you to find an interim and a new pastor who will continue to serve the mission of the church. Ironically, the reason that it's hard
very good, Charles. And I think hopefully I speak for everyone here. Whew. The feeling's mutual. We have enjoyed the last 10 years and big shoes to fill. So thank you. I think there was another announcement. Okay, so no more cookies till we get the word. Well, let's all stand now and greet each other, greet those around you. Then we'll continue our worship by singing All People That on Earth Do Dwell, verses 1, 2, and 4, located on page 18 in your hymnal. Please join me in the call to worship with responsive reading in the bulletin. Come, Lord, you have given us the greatest gift, our faith.
Our greatest gift is our teacher and Savior, Jesus.
Yes, Lord, you have given us the greatest of these gifts in our faith in Jesus.
Our nation in his trouble.
Come, Lord, strengthen our faith, guide us, prepare us for the unknown future. Help us to trust in you and to look to Jesus, the perfecter in our faith. I'm sorry. Lord, you provide the solace in troubled times. You provide guidance as we search for a new pastor. You provide faith as you did from the time of Noah, Abraham, Moses, Rahab, and the judges, the prophets, the disciples, and the early church. Who are we to doubt your presence in these times as in all times? We got through that. Please pray with me. O Lord, our God, who is always more ready to bestow your good gifts upon us than we are to seek them, and who is more willing to give more than we desire or deserve, help us to seek you that we may truly find you, so to ask that we may joyfully receive, so to knock that the door of your mercy may be open for us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hear us now as we pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us.
Please be seated. Our hymn of prayer today is Faith of Our Fathers, located in your hymnal on page 635. We'll sing verses 1 and 3. I believe Jennifer has some stuff prepared for children's time.
Hey, Bobby, you know who's going to do something for us? It's Bob. Let's go up and look at his trombone, okay?
A lot of girl trombone players nowadays. I took a lesson one time from a lady who was a doctor of the trombone. She was good too. I always liked being able to do that when I was a kid. And then I saw Batman on TV. You're probably too little to have seen Batman much, huh? But he had a car and it had about, I don't know, 50 gears in it, because he just, well, no matter how far it was, he just went down the road shifting gears, and he never ran out of gears. And it sounded like... Anyway, here's one that's out of a movie, an old-time Disney movie, called Johnny Appleseed. It's from 1946. That's 10 years before I was born. And it's called The Lord is Good to Me.
Can we sing it?
One you can time? Sing. And if you don't know the words, I'll tell you. It's, the Lord is good to me, and so I thank the Lord for giving me the things I need, the sun and the rain and the apple seed. The Lord is good to me. And then it goes into the chorus on it, and I'm not sure what the words are to that. But then it ends again, comes back around to the Lord is good to me. So here it goes.
Time for our children and leaders to head downstairs for worship and wonder and young disciples class. The prayer concerns are noted on the back of your bulletin. Our card shower today is for Terry Morrison. Terry broke her arm while caring for her mother and could use your prayers and support. Also, I think I noted earlier, the gentleman that was Chris Furch, who was injured and hit by a drunk driver while loading a car onto his tow truck. Are there other prayer concerns to be lifted up? Yes, Paul.
We have a Pastor Harvey Moonshaker, who's a pastor in Loveland Christian Church, who had a serious heart attack and in critical condition. His family has asked for prayers. Harvey's preached here several times.
Prayers of healing and comfort for Pastor Harvey. Any other? Yes. Prayers of healing for Debbie. Yes, Bob.
And my sister Terry, she appreciates all your prayers and everything. She is a little nervous. She's going to see the specialist tomorrow or the next day and find out if she needs to get the surgery on it.
Prayers of healing.
Very good.
Others? Other prayer concerns? Yes.
I've got one more. 3 or 4 of you asked this to each child, my grandson, he had to do it. I've got to tell you, he's doing great. He was able to make up for 3 months being absent from school, and is in the next grade now. He made the primary basketball team for his school, and he and his dad went down and saw the Air Force San Jose game yesterday in Colorado
Springs. Good. Very good. Any others? Let's take all of our prayers to the Lord in a moment of silent prayer. God, our Creator, we lift up our prayers to you today, both spoken and unspoken. Bless those here today and also those who cannot be here. We thank you for the privilege of praying for others. Help everyone to share all the good gifts that you have given to us. May those who lead the nations of the world be given wisdom. We pray for our community and for all who live and work here with us. We pray for families and friends. May we be able to help each other just as you love and help us. We pray for those in need, for the sick and ailing, for those in the hospital, and those with other problems. Compassionate God, give your strength and healing to all those who are sad, lonely, or sick, and bless all those who help them. There are so many needs, but you are adequate for every need. Your name is powerful and your power is great. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As disciples, it's our tradition to invite all followers of Jesus Christ to join in the celebration of Holy Communion. It's just one way to celebrate our given unity in Jesus and his church. This is the Lord's table. He is the host. We are his guests. He welcomes everyone to come and eat and be nourished, fed, and forgiven. The only people excluded from our communion table are those that Jesus himself would exclude, and that is nobody. All are welcome. Let's sing hymn number 393, One Bread, One Body, as we prepare for communion. As you may recall, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took a loaf of bread. And having given thanks, he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's pray.
O God, the giver of our daily bread, we pause to give you thanks. As winter approaches and we prepare for the coldness to come, may your warm presence be felt among us. In memory of Jesus, we partake in his body, broken for us. Also, bless this cup, which helps us remember Jesus' life given to each of us. May drinking the cup prepare us spiritually for the task of being Christian in our daily lives. Use us as your instruments of faith and service throughout the days ahead. Amen.
Thank you.
When we welcome each child of God into the life of the church, we extend God's own generous hospitality. Our gifts help this ministry to flourish and to grow and to give glory to God. Let us gather our gifts, whatever they may be, and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. The diaconate will now collect our tithes and offerings. God of grace, we hear your call to generous giving in the way you meet our needs each day, and in the peace you give which passes understanding. Having received so much, we offer all we have, our time, talents, and money for your kingdom. Bless these gifts for the work of your church. Amen. Please enjoy our some special music provided by Janice Cui. Janice, thank you.
I won't tell you the name. I want to see if you know what it is. Which you will recognize it right away.
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, precious Lord, lead me home. When my most dear. Precious Lord, linger near him when my life is almost gone. Hear my cry, hear my call, hold my hand, lest I fall. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When the darkness appears and the night draws near and the day is past and gone, at the river I stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home, lead me home.
Thank you, Janice. Peg, I think, were you going to do the reading?
I'll be reading from the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and this is the 29th verse. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if it were dry land, but when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. Then we jump over to the 12th chapter of Hebrews and a second verse. Reading, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. So this reading ends at this time.
Our second reading is from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 12, and includes verses 49 to 56. Jesus said, "I came to bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided, three against two, two against three, and they will be divided, father against son, and son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, 'It's going to rain.' And so it does. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say, 'There will be a scorching heat.' And it happens. You hypocrites! You know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky. But why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" The Gospel of the Lord. I'm going to move this. They got me there. I didn't want to fall. It's been said, my dear friends, that a house divided cannot stand. I like what one commentator who quoted a phrase from Abraham Lincoln, a phrase that foretold the devastating outcome of the Civil War and what effect it would have on the issue of slavery. Lincoln knew that a house divided turns into itself and destroys the very essence of its being. I believe that Abraham Lincoln was a classic statesman, apparently a person of faith and an astute, and yes, an ethical politician. Actually, I have to admit, I miss that kind of politician. Our heads are full of politics today, right? I was talking to someone, and it's like, turn on the television, it's just one over and over again, newspapers, phone, the TV, the newspapers, politics, politics. We know that politics, it seems, has become a nasty business. And personally, I think it is much more than that. Politics seems to be the fourth branch of government, holding power over all else in our country's leadership. In the political arena, we are currently in a quagmire of self-serving behaviors where opposition is the core and the predominant theme. As we ponder the present administration, it is clear that our country is polarized, divided, and separated by our understanding of race, economic well-being, and ideology. That being ideas, ideals, morals, and principles. Well, I don't just think that we're polarized. I believe we are pulverized, crushed down from our core beliefs. We, unfortunately, are a separated people. There are the rich and the poor, white and non-white, religious and non-religious, male and female, Republican and Democrat, and oh yeah, the list goes on and on. The list of identifiers can seem endless. And our clever politicians are pondering these divisions for their own means. The left, what do? They bash the president. And what does the president do? He tears into anyone who is critical of him. And as a result, the camps of support for either side Well, those camps are formed. The lines of demarcation are clear, and it seems that it's almost impossible to bridge. That's what it is today. As the expression states, a house divided cannot stand. Those ominous words, I believe they are relevant as we slowly but loudly move into the 2020 election. Brothers and sisters, this is difficult times for our country. And like many of you, I feel anxious and worried about which rabbit hole our nation has slipped into. So I turn to my faith and Holy Scripture to center me and to guide me to remember what is important and to bring me a sense of peace and give me a sense of clarity. I would advise that all of us would do the same. All of us do the same. But probably not this morning, my dear friends, because Luke's gospel is anything but comforting. I almost want to say to you, put your seats and tray tables upright and assume the crash position. Because the gospel is not a peaceful at all. None. No. In fact, it is more like a wrecking ball. If Jesus were writing this scripture, it would be in an email or text, and it would be all in caps. And it would say, I am bringing fire to the earth. Do you think I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, rather division. Now, some of you might be thinking at this point, well, you know, I came to church looking for words of comfort. Not this political, radicalized prophet of chaos, destruction, and change. So we might ask, what is going on here? What's going on? Why is Jesus preaching the necessity of anarchy and destruction in the household of ancient Israel? Why? I will turn mother against child, father against son. Children will be set against their parents. I bring no peace, but only strife and dissension. What is going on here? These are odd and inflammatory words from the so-called Prince of Peace. How extreme his words, and how very devastating and dangerous they are for him. Step back, consider. Consider that Jesus is traveling to Jerusalem, the seat of Imperial Rome's conquest that rules with a vicious and unrelenting power. This Rome. They have conquered and subdued the entire region. Status and self-worth is measured only by one way. It is either Roman or the other. The other being barbarian, and barbarian is without a face, without power, without the rights of self-determination and self-direction. Jewish folks, like everyone else living in the region, was subject to Roman rule, was subject to Roman punishment. There is no God but Caesar. There is no religious tradition but the idolatry of Roman gods. There is no kingdom but Rome. And there is no choice but submission to Imperial Rome and its power. This is a social setting into which Jesus brings his ministry. And he has a choice to make. Jesus has a choice to make. Keep quiet. Keep quiet and maintain peace, or be exposed to the wrath and the vengeance of the Roman authorities. Considering the circumstances, submission and silence would be the prudent thing to do. Right? Keep quiet. But Jesus is preaching a new gospel that demands action and ultimately creates chaos and insurrection at the very core of the religious life and social order of the day. Honor thy mother and father is the old way of Jewish life, and although it still applies, oh yes, Jesus brings something entirely new, something revolutionary to society. The new social order of Jesus' teaching will set everything at odds. It doesn't bring peace to the family, but rather discord and conflict. His words put many Jewish folks on notice. Many Jewish folks on notice that the old dominated ways of hierarchy to society, they had to cease. At the time of Jesus, it was clearly defined who was in and who was out. And Jesus made clear that way no longer applied. Jesus sits at the table consorting with who? With outsiders, prostitutes, politicians, women, children, poor, the sick, as well as money handlers. He is becoming revolutionary in opposing the commanding influence in Jerusalem. Jesus is collapsing the entire social order of ancient Israel. Something utterly new is being demanded, that all are welcome into God's kingdom. The message is clear. Things need to change, and Jesus is frustrated with his followers who seem to be blind to what is clearly happening before them. Jesus is not bringing the seductive calm through the status quo, but rather demands a social and spiritual upheaval to allow justice its birthright. Jesus cries out from across 2,000 years to today. He reminds us, if there is no justice, there can be no peace. Martin Luther King reminded America of this same issue when he called our nation into account for bigotry and racism. He said, "True peace is not merely the absence of tension, it is the presence of justice." This is a powerful lesson told to us. And I believe that it was told by a morally driven prophet. Some of you might remember C.S. Lewis. In his book, Screwtape Letters, which was published in 1942, it's steeped in political climate of what was happening in Great Britain during World War II. Lewis pointed out a tendency, this is important, he pointed out a tendency of people living in emotionally charged political climate to begin to prioritize their political identity ahead of their religious identity. He says that when a nation faces an ideological divide, as Great Britain certainly did in World War II, people tend to do what? They tend to choose a team. and defend their positions at all cost. In those moments, according to C.S. Lewis, people often use their religious convictions to justify their political stance, rather than allowing their faith to be a litmus test through which one chooses a political direction. It seems that if we are a nation divided, we must learn, listen carefully, we must learn to live in the tension of our differences. Yeah. If we are to grow and create ourselves into something new, into something bold, if we wish to be something beautiful, if we want to be something rich, loving, and compassionate before God, then we must strive for justice for everyone. As Micah chapter 6, verse 8 says, three things God asks: act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. Note the first thing is seek justice. In order to fully become as God imagined us, Jesus demands hard changes from all of us. His message of radical social action teaches us that we must reject those things that we hold dear if they only serve our own particular selves and not our neighbors. I believe that is a hard and difficult task. God calls us to change for the better. He calls us to change, all of us, all the time. But with change comes the loss of control of our lives as we give into the demands of something greater than ourselves. We all want God to bring us a tranquil peace, don't we? But God is often present in a peace that passes all understanding. Our faith calls us to renew our trust in God in the midst of the turmoil of real life. The peace that comes with this type of change is challenging, and you know, at times it can be terrifying. I think it was for Jesus, especially knowing that he was on his way to Jerusalem. There he will face conflicts that he had been experiencing. And it will boil over into a plot that took his life. So I say I'm okay. I'm okay with this apparent, grumpy, disruptive, and not so peaceful Jesus. However, when there is no peace, that does not mean that God is not present. Whether one is speaking about the world, our nation, or even our family, we all go through tough times when our lives are disrupted and we feel like refugees from our own stories. But that does not mean that God is not with us. What it usually means is that we are experiencing a change. And yes, we might feel that God is absent. Lincoln believed that a nation divided cannot stand. These days, we will have to wait and see what happens in 2020. To answer that question for us and our country. Where is our prophet today? Where is our prophet today who stands up? Who stands up for righteousness? Who stands up for decency and integrity and truth? Where is that prophet? I'm afraid it can only come from our hearts. From the God-given spirit of oneness, breaking through the choices of division and hate and being separated from God. This we pray for and strive for. So no matter what the outcome, no matter what the outcome, I believe this. If we are a loving and compassionate people of God and committed to justice for all, that will guarantee that our nation will indeed stand the test of time. Amen.
Thank you, Bob. We welcome new members by confession of faith and baptism or transfer of membership to accept Christ as your Lord and Savior or to make First Christian your church home. Please talk with the church office, our elders, or come forward during our closing hymn. Please stand and join me in the closing hymn, For the Healing of the Nations, located in your hymnal on page 668. Holy God, may we go now to follow the way of Jesus, see others as he did, dare to give freely as he did, and to love unconditionally as he did. Go, embraced by the source of life, love and hope, in the company of the Word of Life. Amen.
thousand roads, a thousand ways. And why am I so afraid to move? I cross the line, I'm stepping out, so come what may. I give it all, 'cause I'm drawn to you. As long as my heart is beating, the way you lead me, I will follow. The way you lead me, I give my life.